exalt his great name. It's a privilege to be numbered in the Lord Jesus at such a time as this. Can you exercise your spirit in giving him worship, giving him glory, giving him praise? We worship you, we acknowledge you. Let your name be glorified. 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 Let your name be exalted. We magnify your majesty. We magnify your glory. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified for bestowing upon us your grace in order to equip us for such a time as this. Let your name be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Thank you, Lord. I so say la mina braske corbella. I lo samina coria brisco fan de hele corbella. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. And so we ask that you grant us access into thy counsel. Let our thoughts and your thoughts collide. Invite us into the fellowship with your thoughts, as it is written, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Welcome to the house of God. I think there's an anointing on this choir, and there are different kinds of music ministers we have. Jesus. It's been long I heard reggae, the reggae sound. It's just that I don't have strength to create a scene today. If not, no strength, there's no strength. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I salute you, the brother that led praise and worship. You brought some ancient tunes. In the revival days, those were the melodies that used to quicken our spirits. I think old Christians know what I'm talking about. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, there were three questions they asked. Tell us, when shall these things be? Second question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Third question. And of the end of the world. One of the questions was a when question, trying to find out the timing. Two of the questions were a sign question. When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? You know, I told you that when you begin to trouble the realm of the spirit, watch out for signs. And I don't want to go into the lexicon of spiritual signs, but if you are alive in the spirit, when danger is coming, there's a way you will know. And what I mean by you are being alive in the spirit is that you exercise your spirit in the morning, you exercise your spirit in the afternoon, and you exercise your spirit in the night. If you follow David's prayer program, you will find out that he had prayer devotions for the morning time, he had prayer devotions for the afternoon and for the evening. If you take a close look at the book of Psalms, you'll find out that it's a prayer orientation book. And just in case you want to gain mileage in your prayer life, you might need to read to the book of Psalms with a view of getting insight about prayer from the pages. The man that is writing that book is a priest. He was mentored by Prophet Samuel, and there were many things about the priesthood that he understood, and they were carefully articulated in the 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into the spiritual science. There are multiple. We cannot exhaust the options that are available in terms of spiritual science. But God doesn't want events to break up upon you. He gives you a knowing. He gives you signals so that you can begin to prepare your heart and your mind for things that are inevitable. Are you still with me? For instance, if someone is about to pass, God comes to his beloved people and he gives them a clue. You know, this brother is about to pass. You know, your dad is about to be gathered to his father's. He gives you a suggestion so that the event doesn't ultimately break on you. And when it happens, because you had this pre-knowledge, it gives you some kind of grace to be able to handle the situation in a positive way. So our God is a God of signs. And when you begin to do priesthood, one of the avenues of intelligence is for you to be able to read the signs that litter the spirit realm and also the signs that find expression in the realm of the natural. There is a prayer point I want us to pray tonight so that God will heighten our perceptions so that we can take advantage of every clue that he makes available in order for us to be adequately guided. Please turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, and I will read from verse number 1. 1 Kings 13, verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord had spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And the hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it back again to him. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Many times when God wants to give people the opportunity, nations the opportunity to repent, he comes with the notice of a pending judgment, and he gives a sign that that judgment is going to be efficacious. so that when that sign is accomplished, the people that have basic spiritual intelligence will be able to discern that the counsel of the Lord in terms of the full course of judgment will indeed find expression and it will not be hindered. Our God is a God that walks by signs. And when you begin to press into God, you need to be sensitive to be able to fully articulate the signs that will manifest, because they will give you an insight into what God is pointing to. You know, I said a sign points to something other than itself. Whenever you see a signboard in town, it doesn't point to itself. It gives direction. Are you there? It gives direction. Hallelujah. And so I want to open a few scriptures and build your faculty of spiritual intelligence. Some signs that you should not ignore, and you need to labor to find out what they are pointing to. Okay? You know, we read the scripture the other day in the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We read scripture in Isaiah chapter 8. I was not led to explain it in detail, but I think I need to use that script of Isaiah chapter 8 to open our eyes to a few factors. Are you still with me? I say, are you with me? Okay. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahashalal Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare son. Then said the Lord unto me, call his name Mahashalal Hashbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry. Before the child, you know, I told you the other day that the child was a sign, and the development of the auditory powers of the child is pointing to the season that the king of Assyria will spoil the regions of Samaria and Damascus. What I did not tell you is that one of the things to look at, and to look at it with great detail, number one, bets. A good prophet takes inventory of bets. I began to pray for our family, and I prayed very concentrated prayers for a period of time until my eyes were opened in the spirit and I saw a male child born into the family that I raised up like this. So in the vision, my vision saw how that I raised a male child like this. So anytime a male child is born, I go check the child to see if it looks like the one I raised, and all of them did not look like the one I raised in the vision, so I got tired of taking inventory until my wife gave birth. When he gave birth to a boy. Then I had forgotten about taking inventory. So I was moved to raise him up one day, and it was the exact scenario that I saw. And you see, God told me that it was in the day that that boy would be born, this so-called boy, that I never knew was going to be my son anyway. It's in the day that that boy is born that I will begin to destroy the darkness that is in your family. Now, there's a temptation for you to think and to say that, oh, God is omnipotent. Why does he have to wait until this child is born? You don't know that there are many factors that interplay to occasion events, happenings, to occasion births, to occasion deaths, to occasion who rises, to occasion who falls, to occasion who is kidnapped, who is missing. Are you there? A priest happens to be a functionary that God is willing to divulge secrets to. And if you stay with him long enough, he will share a few secrets with you that will make you wise. So the moment I confirmed that the child he was talking about was my son, and that my son had come, my prayer point changed. Because the Lord said that in the day that this child is born, I would destroy the power of witchcraft that is in your family. So I began to speak him. Curse witchcraft, began to curse. Are you following that? So my actions was predicated upon revelation. And as I began, it's not as if I didn't use to curse witchcraft previously, but there was no effect. But this time, when I did the same things that I did not work, it worked like magic. It worked like magic because the sign of my son was pointing to a season where the powers of witchcraft will be broken. So for each child I have, I know the significance. I know the message that they came to point to. So a good prophet should be able to read the sign of births. This prophetic sign that God was given Isaiah was predicated on the birth of his son. Are you there? The prophetess he was talking about there is actually his wife. He received the name of the son before he even traveled the trip that led to his conception. And he received the name of his son, and the name was isolated from anything until the conception took place and God began to bring perspective, and the son was a sign that was pointing to a matter. Now, are you there? There are few ways by which God gives us the understanding of the times, like the sons of Isaac. And there are many prayer points that are supposed to be influenced by our knowledge of the spiritual timing. For instance, the Bible says, "And thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." Can you see that the prayer point changed the moment they gained perception of what the season held? It was supposed to be followed by a change in prayer, a change in attitude, a change in strategy, a change in our spiritual journeys, a change in our warfare. So if we are going to be competent prophets, we must be able to read the sign of births. Hallelujah. It's a sign. Death also can be a sign, especially if the death is unusual. If it's not natural, you suspect that it's not natural. Someone that wants to understand how to take his journey spiritually must not just go for the barrier. He must also make inquiries to find out, "Lord, why is it like this?" So that if there's anything you yourself need to avoid in order to experience length of days, you'll be able to draw those wisdoms by conducting an effective inquiry. Are you there? You know, we lost someone in our family at a very young age. And I launched a prayer for which God kept mute for a long time until recently. He opened my understanding to know why that person was taken. It's a sensitive family issue, so I'm not going to say it in the public, but I'm just telling you that I conducted an inquiry, and the Lord is so gracious, he will give you insight into matters, if it is true that you really want to know. Are you there with me?
When we were on the field yesterday on Shala's prayer crusade, and we began to pray, and he was coordinating the band people to blow trumpets 48 times, symbolic of how old Benue State was. I was on my knees begging the Lord and asking him, Lord, but we have already given you this territory. Well, how is it that there's no evidence that you have arrived? The things you told us that you will do. What we are seeing is very different from our expectation. Is there an additional thing we need to do other than dedicating the land to you, calling the land by your name, that will interest you to come and take your place? So that was my interaction with the Lord. And the Lord told me something. He says it's not yet time for him to come. That he will come when the land is 60 years old. That's what he told me. Our God is a God of seasons. It's a God of timings. You should know when to take your journey. And that's why the Bible says that the sons of Issachar, there were men that understood the times. One of the ways to understand the times is by reading signs. Exactly? Oh, you are not with me. I went deep in my studies today, very deep. But I don't think it's for this class. I traveled in the Bible. I found something. Hey! I found something in the Bible today as I labor. He said, we come when the land is 60. That's 12 years from now. And you can catch me. If after 12 years from now, you don't see evidence of his visitation, remind me of today. Prophetic people don't just cast their cards anyhow. They wait for the right time. The difference between a normal person that is running the rat race and a man that is precise in his strategy and execution is a man that has capacity to read the signs. Are you still with me? There is another very difficult scripture in the book of Isaiah chapter 8 that I would like to draw your attention to. Very, very difficult scripture, but if we give it a little attention, we are likely to be able to interpret it. It will also show us how to read the signs of your season, of your generation, of your epoch. There are time windows that God administers several unique policies. And if you want to know the policy that God is administering, it is very easy if you know how to read this matter. Come with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 8. Like I said, it's a technical scripture, so you will give me time to unravel it. 8 verse 16. The Bible says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. There are seasons when God decides to hide himself. And he only decides to disclose himself to people that are disciples. And a disciple is someone that is humble enough to want to learn from the Lord. Not everyone that comes to church is a disciple. You know, Jesus said, the Bible says, and Jesus spake unto the Jews that believed on him. So those guys were believers. He spake unto the Jews that believed on him, that if you continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. You get that? And ye shall know the truth. So the truth, the aletheia, the reality, is not disclosed to everybody. It's only disclosed to those that have gained the recognition of becoming chartered disciples. Then shall ye be my disciples indeed. So you need to. A disciple is someone that is humble enough to learn from the Lord. He knows that he doesn't know. So he makes himself available to learn from the Lord. God wants you, first of all, to see him in the scriptures before he allows you to see him in the spirit. If you have seen him in the scriptures, your adventures in the spirit will be safeguarded. I've seen a lot of people. I have a friend like that. I used to have a friend like that. May the Lord help him in the name of Jesus. I used to have a friend like that. He was full of visions. And anytime you invite him to preach, he comes with a big Bible to church, which he will never open. Just put it on the pulpit and then sing. Angels are singing, you are worthy. Oh, why are you pretending as if you don't know this song that I'm raising right now? You are worthy. Oh, he will never open that Bible. Big Bible, a big Bible. He will just put it there. Angels are singing, you are worthy. Oh, Lord, you are worthy. Then he will call somebody and say, yes, your name is Donatus. I see that you were born during time of crisis, war. There was war in your village. So he begins to give words and begins to prophesy and does all kind of stuff. And before you know it, the 2 hours you gave him, he's exhausted. He'll carry the big Bible again. And then he'll go and you'll go and sit. It worked for a while because he built his ministry on the gift. So he doesn't know the scriptures. And in order for you to be strong, competent in knowing the voice of God, you must know the voice of scriptures first. If you get yourself acquainted with scriptures, a time will come when someone speaks and the utterance doesn't seem to line up with scripture. Your entire system will quake because you know the voice of scripture. Those that know the voice of scripture will eventually know the voice of God. So my friend began to have encounters with God in the spirit before he had encounters with God in the Bible. A time came when the encounters were no longer accurate and he could not tell because he never knew the scriptures. Are you there? One day he came up that he's seen a vision about a lady he wants to marry. So I said, all right, let's go to and visit the people. When we got there, I lost my peace. So I knew God was not in it. I looked for a way and escaped. And not just escaping from the environment, I traveled. I moved. And because he is the prophet in our midst, if you come and say, I don't think you are right, oh. You say, from whence left the Spirit of God from me to reveal these such things to you? Say, have I ever come to challenge you when you teach? When you teach, we'll submit. This side is my side. Huh. Well, at the end of the day, the lady he married was not born again. Because of the prophetic intimidation, we couldn't. She was actually into witchcraft. But it wasn't obvious until 3 years into their marriage. Wasn't obvious. That's what happens to you. You will lack the ability, to discern when you enter into the muddy waters of destiny if you have not yet trained yourself to be able to identify the voice of Scripture. Is that clear? All right, so that's why we're doing loads on scripture. We want to expose you to scripture, you afflict you with scripture until you begin to understand the reading. That's the greatest blessing that you can ever have. And then when someone comes, even though the person is shouting, and he begins to say things that are not in line with scripture, your entire system is going to revolt against it. And if we're going to recover Christianity, which is something that we desperately need to do at this time, we need to re-pioneer the philosophy of scripture and to pedestal it as an authority that is beyond every other authority in issues of justice, judgment, in issues of life and of godliness. Hallelujah. It says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. So when God decides to hide himself, there is a group of people that he reveals himself to, and those guys are his disciples, the people that have decided to be foolish enough to learn from him. He will come in their midst, and the things that other people cannot see, those that are his disciples, he will make himself available to. Are you there? In fact, there are things that he will discuss with his disciples that he will ask them to bind up. Don't say this one outside. That is a day when intimacy is the currency that determines who is mighty and who is a victim. So I choose not to trade with God from the outer court. Because a day like this, in fact, we're in that day now. We're in that day now. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. So in the day that God decides to hide himself, the protocol for seeking God out is to wait on the Lord. You will never know how majestic God is until a situation comes when you need to wait for him. That's what you'll find. You will learn some practical things. You are waiting on God to give you direction. Waiting on God to give you a strategy. Waiting on God because you know if you take off like a tornado, after 3 years, you will come back to the same situation. So there's no need for you to run. You just wait on God. It's only when God comes that there'll be an answer. If you've never been there before, it means you don't know God. Your knowledge of God will come from waiting on him, exercising and handling the protocol that is in his space. There is a huge protocol that you must submit to if you are going to secure audience with God. He said, I will wait upon the Lord that had hidden his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Next verse. Behold, this is, I hope you know, the last verse says, I will wait on God, and I will what? Look for God. This verse is saying God has answered this one. That for which you are waiting on God. Eh? This is a sign. Verse 18 is a sign that I want to explain. It's a complex sign. But I want to explain it. If I succeed in explaining it the way it is in my spirit, then I will leave the issue of science, even though I've not finished, and move to another matter on how to receive the frequencies of God, because your priesthood is troubling the realm of the spirit, and there is bound to be a feedback. In verse 18, Isaiah says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. We are from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. I know you don't get that. Yeah, that's why I say it's complex. You know, previously it says, I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to look for him. Then the next verse, it now says, I and the children that the Lord has given unto me, we are for signs and wonders. If we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, you are going to see what the Bible says when God made the two great lights, namely the sun and the moon. Go there, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. This my man doesn't want to help me. Okay, no problem. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And I was expecting that the purpose for which those
lights were created was to give light. He said, let us make light in the firmaments of the heaven. And then you will conclude that the reason why we are making these lights is so that they can have light in the morning and light in the night. He mentioned the reasons for which the lights are needed, and light is not one of the reasons why they are set up in the skies. They are set up in the skies for what? For signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So that you can track days, so that we can track years, so that we can track seasons, so that we can track what? Signs. That's the kind of presentation, the same word that is used in the Hebrew, that's the kind of presentation that is in that scripture. I, just like the sun is supposed to be give signs, is supposed to give idea of seasons, supposed to give idea of what? Days and years. It says in times when God is silent, you will read the seasons of the times when you find an accurate disciple that previously was in hiding, now comes, he comes out of hiding, proclaiming a message. Are you there? Oh, what I'm seeing in that matter is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the wilderness for 24 years. He was incommunicado for 24 years. And after 24 years, John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness and he begins to proclaim the message of the kingdom. Just like you need the sun produces signs with which you can interpret seasons. The sun gives us an idea of to track days and to track years. The chartered sons of God that have been held in captivity because they want to seek the mind of God, when they come out of hiding, what God is doing through them is a sign about what God is doing in the season. You get that? So I, those of us that are chartered disciples that have been waiting on the Lord, when we begin to access the mind of God and we begin to come out of hiding to proclaim the things that we have heard in secret, that's how the larger populace will know the signs, we understand the seasons, because we are supposed to be the entities that will give people an idea of the seasons of God. In this particular case, human beings carry the signs that reveal the seasons of God. In this case, if we go deeper, I'm going to show you a certain scripture that revealed that Jesus was actually a sign. That is Jesus the Christ. His manifestation was a sign upon the face of the earth that the day of the kingdom was already here. And if by any means the day of the kingdom shows up and you are not one of those people that is wise enough to repent of your ways in order to subscribe to the kingdom, you are going to miss the move of God. Do you realize that there are several moves of God that are tied to human beings? That's what I'm saying. The emphasis that God uses those human beings to bring to their generation, if you don't flow with it, you have missed the move of God. Because they are for signs and wonders. Did you get that? Okay. So let me jump now. Let me jump. Now, before I jump, I need us to get Psalm 74 on the screen before I jump. So when Isaiah said, I, me, and the children that are given unto me, we are those ones that are chartered disciples, that the Lord comes to share secrets with us. So our preoccupation is that we wait on the Lord, and we look for him. All right? So when we come out, when we have found his will, and we come out and we begin to proclaim it, that's the only way our generation can understand the signs and the wonders of God
in our day, because it will be manifest through our lives. So if God wants to bring a new season, what he does is that he calls some people into hiding and gives them the blessedness of being chartered disciples. He'll be coming to them and showing them what he wants to do. Coming to them. And just a few people, showing them what he wants to do. He will bring them into captivity and keep them closed down. Other people will be preaching. Other people will be prophesying. Meanwhile, those disciples, he exercises serious government over them so that they will not be contaminated with the trends of the time. In due season, when God releases them, those are the individuals through which the generation will use to know the signs of the times, because their prophecies, their proclamations, what they teach and preach, it will be what God is saying at the time. So those ones are the calendar people of God. There we are for signs. We project the signs about what the season is about. When you hear our message, you check our lifestyle, you see our conviction, you see our emphasis, it is an administration of what God is doing in our generation. Because we are privileged to be chartered disciples that he comes to disclose the season to as we seek him in private. Is that clear? Okay. Now, in the book of Psalm 74, verse 9, this is it's a burden that I have in my heart. This is a lamentation. A lamentation that a generation gave. He said, we see not our signs. Can you imagine their condition? We see not our signs. The things that they were supposed to look at, that we inform them as to what God is doing, he said, we see them not. Is this a description of how your life is? You see not your signs. Your times are passing away, and you are not seeing the anchor with which you will connect with destiny. He said, we see not our signs. That's one challenge. So if you are in a situation where you cannot interpret your signs, you cannot see your signs, it's in a state of emergency. Do not break your fast until your signs are restored. It means your life is only being lived within the framework of time, but it's not striking any chord in eternity. We see not our signs. That's one challenge. Second challenge for that generation is that there is no more any prophet. If there was a prophet, then it will be easy to know the mind of God through the prophesying of such a prophet. But in a day like this, where prophets are few, people that have the counsel of God are very few. And it is the theater of noise that has taken over the space. It will be difficult for people to synchronize with the administrations of God for the time. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. So, the people that can interpret the signs are the sons of Issachar. Number two, the prophets are the carriers of the counsel of God. And number three, the ones that know how long are ancients. So, there are three people that can counsel you, that can put you on track when you are displaced from alignment. Now, if this scripture is descriptive of you, then you are in a state of emergency. Don't stop fasting and praying until your signs appear. Because what God does to people that are dear to him is that he litters signs across the pavement so that they will be able to interpret where they are in the maze of the map of their destiny. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop there today. Tomorrow, when I come for the lecture, we'll enter into the voice of God. Sometimes, 30% of the time, God speaks with a voice. Most of the time he speaks with a knowing. Other times he can speak with signs. Sometimes he speaks with pictures. That's when he takes... If he speaks with pictures, it means he wants to give you more details, because pictures have a way of capturing more details than spoken words. If God decides to resort to words, then it means he either wants to give you wisdom or he wants to give you direction. Now, if God wants to give you wisdom or direction, you must note that he will speak short sentences. Please help me preach to your neighbor. God does not speak much. God only answers much. I know you have not heard him. I say, tell your neighbor, God does not speak much. He only answers much. So spiritual intelligence requires that we do the asking, because God can answer much. If you are a believer that is not spiritually intelligent, you'll be waiting for God to speak. You will get old before he does so. He doesn't speak much. He only does what? He answers much. When you see men like Daniel, people that were versed in the art of spiritual intelligence, you will see them asking God questions, ascend, troubling God with inquiries. In that way, you can secure more from God than just sitting on the bench and waiting for him to come. He doesn't speak much, but he only answers much. All right, so we're going to build it from there tomorrow. We'll go into the voice. And there are a few things you need to know in order for you to be able to differentiate the voice of God that is coming from your spirit and the voice and your own voice and noise that is trapped in your soul. The advantage that we draw from the Holy Spirit is largely determined by our ability to hear him clearly. I've said it before, what separates the boys from the men is hearing. I will labor behind the scene to improve my hearing, because the moment my hearing is improved, I'm not as confused as other people. So many people can beat about the bush, but a man that can hear God is delivered from all of those complications because of the clarity of the mind of God which he can access. This is that year where we need to hear God clearly. This is that year when we need to end every form of shadow boxing and know exactly what the mind of God is and walk in that direction. Now, maybe because of the little grace that God has made available to me, so many believers all over the world are connected to me. So many believers. Some ask for guidance, some ask silly questions, some just, oh, Jesus Christ. So everywhere, people are asking questions. Hey, the other day, one said, Mary, Abigail, and Martha. Which one is my wife? I have seen, in my practice of ministry, I've seen all kinds of things. And that's why you need to pray for me. You just need, you don't even have a choice. You have all kinds. So those kind of questions, the person is serious, so. You are laughing. He said, Abigail. Huh? Which one again? Mary. Mary Amata. Which is my wife? And he's expecting a sincere answer. So I have those kind of questions. I have questions from people in authority in several nations asking strategic prophetic questions that will transform their economies. All right, I have friends in the military in several nations seeking prophetic intelligence. So at that level, so I think I can tell you a few things. I can tell you a few things about hearing God, and I tell you it's the greatest secret of the believer. Once you can hear God, it means that there is a solution to your problem. And that's why we are talking about priesthood. We are talking about setting up altars. And this is the back end of the teaching, because as you are doing those things and troubling the spirit realm, there will be feedback. You should have a receptacle that is enlightened enough to be able to give you the insight that is corresponding to your activity. So, Sister Margaret, this is question and answer time. I just take a few questions. There's a sister here. Her name is Margaret. She didn't indicate where she was communicating from. You say, what if your spouse is the one carrying the evil altar into the family? Do you stay with him? Do you submit to him? How do you handle it? All right, let's do the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth 1, verse 8 to 16. Ruth 1, verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return to her mother's place. Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Verse 9. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then he kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If you should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Jump with me, jump with me. What scripture am I looking for? Verse, go on. 14. Oh. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16. And Ruth said, I entreat me not to leave thee or to return following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant that joins you with a people. It's a covenant that joins you with the spiritual atmosphere of the people, not just the people themselves alone, but the spiritual atmosphere that they carry. So if you marry into a place and you run a priesthood of righteousness and a priesthood of light, know before you even get married that you are entering into contention. The journey and the story of your marriage will be altar versus altar. The moment you become joined with your husband, the battle starts. And if you know the Lord much more than your husband does, most of the responsibility of determining how the battle goes will depend upon you. But one thing is sure, and that which is sure is in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. 1 Samuel, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, you are going to find an assurance in the scriptures. Yes, they serve idols, they are occultic people. You did not know as a woman, then you now married your husband. And the thing about marriage is that if you people met in the coven, that's where you people met and fell in love when you were casting spells. You fell in love in the coven, in the witchcraft quarters. If you get married, The marriage is valid even when you become Christians. The thing about marriage is that if you see somebody, are you there? In the hospital. That's where you met the person. And then you now got married. That marriage is valid whether you are married, were married in darkness or married in light, or married in darkness and moved into light, or married in darkness and one cross over to light, the marriage is still. But that's the thing about marriage. And we need to understand that marriage is a big matter. May the Lord give you understanding. So now that you are there, let me teach you how to survive. The issue of whether you should fight or not, that issue is no longer a question. The issue that we should be talking about is how do you survive? How do you fight? How do you change the tide? May you never have the orientation that you want to attempt life. No, I don't want to attempt. I want to finish. Paul said, I finished my race. Not that I attempted. I tried. No, I want to finish. It is when your mind is not made up to be involved in the warfare, that's when you become a victim all through your life. Now that you are married and you already have children as a woman, the chances for you, let me advise you, the chances for you, there are better chances for you to fight and secure victory for your husband. Don't ever think that staying alone, separating is a solution. Listen to me. You know, it's not every truth that is good to hear. Chloroquine is not sweet, but it delivers you from ailment. Me, I minister chloroquine. That's what people have sweet to minister. They have chewing gum to minister. God gave me chloroquine. It is what they gave you that you will minister. I am telling you, oh mother, stand with your husband, even if he's a thief. Stand with him. Life is easier for you with that thief than for you to try to make life. Demons will come and deceive you. You don't know how vulnerable you are without your husband. You don't know. You come and say, hey! It's just God using that man to cover you. Because the day that man is not there, you can't shout like that. You will keep quiet. So even though he's a thief, he comes, and when he comes back home, he'll just frown. It is better than not having a man in your life. He will just frown, and his nose will go up. And anytime you are describing the situation, you never forget to mention the nose. I am advising you, stick with that man and fight with him. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, you see, I told you to open to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5 as I try to give perspective to Sister Margaret's answer. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when there of Ashdod arose on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen and his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. So what is happening here is that they brought the altar of Israel and put it in the same hostel with the altar of the Philistines. When they woke up in the morning, they saw the altar of the Philistines, and the imagery of that altar was face down. So they had to come and help their God. There was human effort to redeem the integrity of the God, the reputation of the God. The disciples came quickly in the morning and made Dagon to stand up. You know why I came here? I wanted to show you that if you can smuggle the ark of God into that darkness. Stop asking all these questions. Become committed. Don't attempt life. Make sure you finish. Smuggle. I know the women here won't say amen. The way they are saying amen. The way they are saying it,
I know the meaning. Take the ark of God into that place. Dagon will not survive it. Now, the worshippers of Dagon came early in the morning, before daybreak. They came into the shrine and saw the reaction. They rescued Dagon quickly and set it up again so that his masculinity will not be lost in transit. Hallelujah. Please help. If there's a woman close, you tell the woman, smuggle the ark there. You know, when women get married, the idea of marriage is, let us have soft bed and just lie down and then be doing makeup in the morning, makeup in the afternoon, makeup in the night. And then she will tiptoe to the kitchen and look for orange juice and drink and take selfie of herself. Aisoma kaye korea ikase. Oh, women, wake up. There's no life like that. I know you must have seen some pictures that they put on Facebook. People doing like this. Those people doing like that, they don't have husbands. Smuggle the ark. There. Dagon. We bow. So the disciples came and they put Dagon together, supported him so that he will be standing. Are you there? And when they arose on the morrow, behold, Dagon was falling upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both his palms and his hands were cut off from the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left. It's as if the people knew that mischief will take place. They were sure of mischief. So in the morning they came again this time. Dagon could not be helped this time. Because Dagon became crippled. Only I have seen families where they married a woman and then they began to torment the witches. They began to torment the woman. And then the woman now, she was a carnal woman. She just said, Lord, you know I don't have any hope again. Then she started fasting. Fasting. You know, when a woman gets angry and she ties wrapper, there's a way that ties wrapper like this, it means stop that. If it's your wife, just beg her, say, okay, it's okay. So no more problem. She tied the wrapper and began to fast in the night, began to pray in the night. The people that wanted to use witchcraft to navigate, the witchcraft was no longer work. They couldn't. The thing. The crystal ball couldn't work. All the instruments that they used to surveillance instruments, blackout. They sent one of them to the woman and said, that's after they have intimidated her with dreams. They will bring one beast in her dream like this. To get her to stop praying. Then they'll bring one anaconda, one big snake. Then the snake will crawl in the dream and do like this. And will speak to the woman. We're after you. So that she'll be intimidated. She didn't care about her. Kept pressing. When all the imageries that they present through dreams don't have the power to intimidate you and you still keep pressing, they will now come in the natural and say, you know, this prayer can cause something. This prayer, it can cause something. Minimize it so that there will be no problem. When you hear that, it means that witches are terrorized. Witches have been intimidated. What you will do is that you take up your journey. Then they will look to see if you have children. And then they will smite one of your child with an affliction that is not medical. If you are not wise, you rush the child to the hospital
And when they do anything medical, maybe an injection, it will develop abscess. That problem that is coming on that child, especially when your prayers are intense and then your child falls sick, is that same prayer that will cure that child. I have seen it over and over again. And the woman kept pressing. The prayer, she will use it and inoculate the children. And it will work faster than Panadol, work faster than aspirin, work faster than Kemiron. Prayer. Huh? This time the witches now understand that the battle line has been drawn. One day they will come for incantation. That's how somebody will just die there. And then they will abandon the altar for some time. Not forever, for some time. And then you will have breakthrough. You will have peace. They want to test you with prosperity. They've tested you with affliction. You did not bow. So they will test you with prosperity and allow you to prosper and become fat so that when you raise your leg like this, it will. Oh, Mikey Maraconda. All they are trying to do is to restore Dagon. Dagon is crippled. May you cripple the idol that is speaking in your family in the name of Jesus Christ. Cripple the idol. Cripple that idol. If you can smuggle the ark there, that's what we mean when we say altar. It only responds to an altar. It's altar versus altar. But this is true about the ark of God. If you can smuggle it there, there is no idol, no spirit that can stand the majesty of the glory of God. And I tell you this as a missionary. I've met all kinds of stuff. I tell you this. You know I'm a missionary. I tell you this as a missionary. When to preach. If you don't know the law, don't go to Tanzania. There are nations. Don't go to Togo. Don't go to Benin Republic. Do Nigeria, then jump to Ghana. Don't go to Uganda. Don't go to Cameroon. Even if you go to Cameroon, you can stay in Douala. Stay in Douala. Don't move from there. If you start going down to Tiko, I've seen altars of darkness. I've seen witches raging in the night. I've seen spirits hanging around my window. The man from Cameroon knows what I'm talking about. Spirits hanging around my window, and their legs were not touching the ground. I spoke in tongues till 5 a.m. before they left. They were just hanging there. As long as I spoke in tongues, they were paralyzed, but they were waiting for me to stop praying. Oh, you have not yet exercised yourself in the spirit to knock sleep off. You say you want to be an international minister. What are you looking for? Why not stay in high level? Stay in high level and be singing Makosa. Stay here. There's nothing. The only thing you see in high level are boys that need to give their life to Christ. The intensity is on the low side. You will survive it. The spirits were there till 5 a.m. I prayed in tongues. Prayed in tongues. I prayed in tongues. I prayed in tongues until daylight started coming. That's when I went to sleep. And we still went for that crusade and struck hard. I came back again. After preaching in the crusade, you will think that, oh, okay, it's weary. If you can't drive sleep, you will not come back. I had that fight for 3 days. The third day, I struck what was there. And that it was the third day heaven sent reinforcement from heaven. I saw the angel that was sent from above, so mighty. I've never seen that type before. It was his sword that he just lowered it like this. Those demons just left. There was no fight too. Just lowered the sword. It was brah. Dagon will fall. I want us to do something deliberate. There are two prayer points I have. The first one is Dagon prayer point. Dagon. Second one is in the lamentation that is in the book of Psalm 74, verse 9. We see not our signs. We want to ask that God will restore our signs. Let us be able to read the meter of the Spirit again, so that we'll know when to take our journey. We'll know, we'll understand how God is advancing us in the process that we are engaging. Hallelujah. Sometimes people get discouraged when they cannot see the progress that is being made from their input in prayer, their input in fasting. If you know how to read the signs, you'll be able to articulate how much progress you have made. Your spiritual life is not a vague adventure that is blind. No, there are spiritual senses with which you can articulate with a great sense of accuracy what is building in the spirit. And I'm not telling you what I have not seen. I'm not telling you what I have not practiced. Oh my God. There's a place in Cameroon called Boya. That was the day that I was preaching, and God told me that some people in this congregation were raised to be custodians of altars, but somehow they refused to inherit the altars. But the spirits are following them. When I gave the altar call, about 14 people came out. Then we started deliverance, and you know how deliverance is, and all of that. And I thought we had finished until we went that night. We went that night, and something scratched my body. The thing that scratched my body, it touched my body physically. But the thing was invisible. The first attempt that the kingdom of darkness will strike at you in a situation of spiritual warfare is not the attack, it's the intimidation. So they'll try to do something in order to get the cooperation of your mind, so that your mind will take to places it cannot, it should not go, and your faith alignment will be broken. I have labored a little, so I can tell you of my spiritual journeys. The thing touched my physical body. When you see that your mind wants to travel, what you need to do to stabilize it, you start speaking. Speak for 1 hour. Not praying in tongues, though. Speaking scriptures. Speaking scriptures. Speaking scriptures. What you are not doing it for the devil, you are doing it to for your faith. Speaking, 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 and then your faith will come back. That's when you start fighting again. When they know that you cannot be intimidated, the fight has ended. Dagon, it must fall. I don't know at what point you stop fighting. Maybe they intimidated you, and then they came and brought something and drew a mark on your body. Say, hey, ele, 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 ele. Oh, my Kapo Korea. When the devil sees a man that does not retreat, he stays far. No. Even Satan himself calls those kind of men wicked. Say, this one is wicked. It's wicked. Deal with him brutally. Don't even yield to that weakness that is coming. Don't yield to it. That weakness is a sound of death. We cannot indulge it. We cannot enjoy that luxury. Huh? I sent my pastor to go preach in Brazil. So he came and saw idol. Idol like this. So he went there and said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. When he went in the night, the spirit almost killed him. You know that spirit that has been haunting you, that will hold your neck and you say, If you are not ready to fight, why did you go and talk to the idol? Have you ever seen a wrestling match that the person won the match by just a blow? That thing you did to the idol was a blow. When you finish blowing, go and put on your boxers and get ready. He finished blowing somebody and went to sleep. So they kept, you know, it's hammer lock that they gave him, that they'll put your head. Most people are not ready for life. They are not ready for life. They are not ready for life. They are not ready for life. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your strength. The days of war are upon us.
Oh, if you know what I'm saying, you can turn the tide. You can change the language. You can change the war. You can change the battle. Can change the battle. Went to preach somewhere. Three people were sent to come and assassinate me with spiritual tools. And I was ministering. And then I said, oh. Then, you know, I normally teach. What opens my anointing is teaching. I normally teach to a certain level. And then my spirit opens and I can discern the presence of angels. I was just in the middle of teaching and one angel just stood in front of me like this. What is this? So at any time they stand like that, there's something I feel. When I feel that thing and I stretch my hand like this, people will start falling. So the angel stood here. So I did like this. Three boys began to foam. The boys that came with weapon to fight me. And are you there?
Yes,
began to foam. Saliva was coming out like. And I said, Lord, what is happening here? He said, these are the ones that were sent to come and attack you. I said, attack? So what should I kill? How will we? You know, my own is, yeah, I've seen too much darkness. So the next thing is suggest, let's kill, just kill it. Cut it. Yes. I'm brutal in the spirit. Very brutal in the spirit. When the fight starts, I will never end until I win. You need to be careful to choose who you want to fight. You say you are an evil man, you kill this person, you kill that person, then you are on my case. I don't stop. I don't say, okay, let's negotiate. No. Think about it before you start. Is there somebody here that has become weary? Put on your strength. I want us to come against Dagon. And what I mean by Dagon are altars that have been built in your family. And they are using it to regulate people. To regulate marriages. As peace is taken out of marriages. All kinds of things are beginning to happen. No. No. Abraham, his life taught us a lesson. That the life of man upon the face of the earth is assured as long as he has an altar. He had to deal with the demon of barrenness in his wife. He had to deal with the issue of lack of direction. And it was the supervising spirit of his altar that manifested himself as El Shaddai. And El Shaddai was strong enough to battle barrenness and to put it aside. In the first generation, El Shaddai conquered barrenness. In the generation of Isaac, El Shaddai conquered famine. In the generation of Jacob, El Shaddai conquered poverty. What is this enemy that you have been fighting and you have not been able to pin it down? Can we pray in a moment of time? Dagon must fall. Dagon, he must fall. Dagon, he must fall. I don't know the name of that deity in your family hunting people from pillar to post. Dagon must fall. Dagon. Dagon. He must be destroyed. His hands must be amputated. You are too soft. You are too soft. You are too soft. You are too soft. Don't give another day of peace to witches, to wicked people. Don't give another day of peace. Yamo kore si ke meke korama. Yamo seke do koria birenesi. The destinies of many people have been marginalized. They've been kept on one spot. You can decide to rebel against the devil. Dagon must fall. The altar that speaks darkness in your community, in your family, we sentence it to fire by the hand of God. Dagon must fall. Dagon must fall. No retreat. No surrender. No retreat. No surrender. No retreat. No surrender. This year you will see your life will blossom suddenly. Suddenly you will shine. You will shine. The Lord will take you beyond your imagination. Rubabashi kabandele korea. Presku paka de kose. Eshia branda baboko sabalata. Yata konse heke talado. Ombre kesa kina masote balwa. Raskata bonde kete. Kuramashi. Rai kompala kondo. Isokoria briskete kede bonde. Alado kosketa briga banso. Rakosamaland. Rakosekotani. Ilo bronda sakatuno. Ebrekeske sensele. Jamatala babonde kade. Ieta kanse bregadia. Ambre kasa kude batalia. Antekela branda babokoda. Ambre sabina. Your life will blossom. Your life will blossom. This year is your year. The things that resisted you before, they will lose their powers as we glide with the armies of heaven. The Lord has spoken a word over your life. Siabonde, sekeme, roke babo santelia, Maria si caprante, babo condalia. Alla bruschetta brande caduga natua, iata combe la sike bande, for thou shalt be saved, and the members of your household. You will fulfill your destiny. Oh, gloria mamma mia, pasicote, ebra cansa late bande curia. Rama Sakatala, every Alaba Bonsekala. We smuggle in the ark of God. We smuggle in the presence of God. We smuggle in the power of God. Senia Koseme, Ruka Sanda Babora Kadia, the Alaba Kansedi, Elombria. Akalabosa, Akalabayato, Asanda Babokoria, Eliska Bendi, Dagon must be overthrown. The images, the altars, the idols, the spirits fall, they fall. They fall face down, stripped of their power to manipulate. We come against them in the name of the Lord of hosts. Yala kasule brasalai, eko santoria brega batala, yela baraka santoria, endo de ruke babasua, alato se sale. Branda babarai takosketa brenda bakudebala arato sese kuria branda babosa kata yala baba baba yala baba 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 yala baba 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 yala baba baba sokela yala baba baba sok yala baba baba. Suddenly you will discover that the resistance has gone. The limitation has been swallowed up. Mount up with wings like the eagles. Mount up into your windows above. God is not a man that he should lie. Ala bosaye taya. Aya la 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 babasaki. Ora kasanta babonde.
Dagon must fall. Dagon must fall. Dagon must fall. His reign must end. His manipulation must end. Alabroke, Sando Koba Basukeba, Anthokose Kana, Brayata Kose, Brigaba Santa Baboda Gan, La Sol, Lakabonda, Laka Sande Nekeria, Udaha Cabrono Sekadia Lababonde. Dagon, your end has come. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Can you use your mouth in a moment to proclaim some blessings on your life? You will see evidence this year. You will see it. Things that have delayed. Things that have delayed. They've been held up. Held up. Suddenly, they will be released. People that ran from you, that left you, by their own will, they will come back. Proclaim His glory over your life. When I knock, the doors shall be opened. When I enter, I will be accepted. Nations will honor me as I go to herald the gospel. Oh my God. Adibo Jose Prescopondo Oro Coria Badis. Yes. I will not be rejected. I fly with the aroma of the favor of God. This is your time. This is your moment. The Lord has spoken the word over your life. That in blessing you are blessed. In multiplying you are multiplied. Of the cherubim shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Shine forth. Shine like the fire. In the midst of the cherubim, God.